Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and welcome again to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Classes. I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, psychotherapist, and Ignite Your Life coach. I'm so happy that you're here today. I'm also the co-founder and now solo owner of Hot Pink University, and it's a place where I help support women in their midlife to reignite to their passion, their purpose, and their play, as well as a little pleasure in life. And recently, I launched a series of life classes on a variety of topics to ignite your life. I invite you to find me on the web at my website, which is www.hotpinkyou.com, or you can also find me at Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. I also am on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, and you can find me at Christy Bemis on LinkedIn. All these places are where you're going to find ways to be inspired to reignite your life with passion, with a lot of purpose, and with a lot of play. Today, I'm excited with this series. This is the third part in a multi-part series around my four quadrants of control model that I developed over the last couple years and recently launched last year in working with coaching with women. And today, I'm excited to be doing the third part in this series all around the things that we don't have control over, and how that kind of gets us into trouble in life and where that leads us down the path of anger, feelings of frustration, and feeling totally and completely out of control. So I want you to think about Hot Pink University life classes as those things you wish you would have known, things you wish you would have been taught back in high school or in college and maybe weren't, but they're things that women I feel like need to know and that were never taught to them. So get a journal, get a pen, and let's dive in deep together. Yeah, recently I want to celebrate a little bit with you listeners. I graduated from the basic training over the last, 6 months now with the Somatica Institute. And so I am ready, willing, and able to do sex education now and relationship coaching with all of the tools. In fact, today I'm going to share one of the tools called trigger mapping with you that I found to be super beneficial and tucks in super nice with my four quadrants of control model. We're going to start the class a little bit today talking about the control model. I'm going to walk you through the model again. Some of you, this will be your third, so it'll be an overview or review. But we're going to walk through the model. And then today's focus is all around quadrant two, which is those things you don't have control over and you keep trying to. So I'm going to give you some tools and tips and techniques today to help support you in that work that you're doing, things you can control, and to release and let go of those things that honestly we have no business controlling at all. As hard as it might be in life sometimes, we don't have control over them. And so we need to stop trying to have control. But that's a hard thing, especially when you're in relationships with others. And you're in relationships with others where there's expectations for how you want them to be, who you want them to be, who you want them to be for you. And there's expectations for what needs you want to get met in that relationship, right? And so that's a really hard thing to, it's a hard thing to grasp. It takes practice. And it takes skills and it takes tools, right? I want you to think about today as we start our journey on the things you can control, that list that you came up with in our first life class on this multi-part series, the things you have control over, and then another list of the things that you don't have control over. And as a reminder, the things that you have control over are pretty... it's not a big list. I have control over my beliefs. I have control over how I carry out my guiding principles in life. I have control over my thoughts, my feelings, and how I choose to react or respond to situations, and that is it. And so our last life class, we really spent a lot of time on tools for quadrant one and tools for quadrant three. So I'm going to walk you around the quadrants, which is imagine a square, and it's divided into four smaller squares inside. And there's two columns at the top, the first one being control, the second column being no control. And then there's two rows, one stacked on the other, and the first row being called act, and the second row being called don't act. And so basically a walk around a clock, if we were to look at the quadrants as if it was a clock in front of us, basically the quadrants go one, two, and so quadrant one is that first top left hand, I have control over it and I choose to act. And we really spent a lot of time in the second life class on this series in that quadrant one. The second quadrant, which is where we're going to focus most of our time today on, is those things we don't have control. It's the top right-hand corner, but we choose to act on them. We still are trying to control them. And it's honestly the quadrant that leads us to the most anger, frustration, disappointment, and just really feeling out of control in life. And so I want you to live your best life and take back the things you know you have control over and release and let go of those things you don't have control over. So if we're walking around the quadrants then, and we're going down to the lower right-hand corner, those are the things that we don't have control over, and we're not trying to control them. Our next class after this one, our next and our last class after this one, we'll be fully and solely focused on quadrant four, which is helping you release, let go, surrender, and do it actively with a full and open heart. So you can still be in relationship with people, but you're surrendering control with a full, compassionate, open heart. And the last quadrant is quadrant three, which is the lower left-hand corner. If we were going around in a clock, that's how I'm kind of walking you through this. And it's the things that you have control over, but you choose not to act on it, which leaves you feeling depressed, pessimistic, hopeless. We spent a lot of last class on that quadrant as well. So we really focused the first part in this series around an overview of the full quadrants themselves. We walked you through what are the list of things you have control over and what are the things you don't have control over. And then our second life class on this whole multi-part series was on quadrant one and three, which was really focusing on the things you have control over. I made a decision to divide up this next life class into two so that we could fully focus on quadrant two in this session, which is the things I don't have control over and I'm still trying to. Because I find that the people that I work with the most, that's a hard one, you know, trying to release and let go of control. And then I decided to create a full life class in and of itself with focusing on the tools for quadrant four, mainly because it's such a hard quadrant, I feel like, for people to grasp and to learn in life. And I have so many, many rich tools. I really wanted to dive in a lot deeper into quadrant four with you and really have some experiential tools that I take you through working with in order to learn how to release, surrender, and let go, and to do it full-heartedly so you're not feeling a sense of shame and guilt and hopelessness and pessimism. Because honestly, if you are still feeling those things, then you're still trying to control something, right? All right. So hopefully that gives you a great overview. Today we're also going to learn an experiential tool. I'm going to take you, walk you through your triggers and do a little trigger mapping with you. And in doing that, building awareness, which is a super important tool and valuable for this work that we're working on. Here's the thing. When we're hanging out in quadrant two, which is the one we're going to focus on today, which is I have no control over and I'm still trying to, when we're hanging out in that quadrant, you are staying very other focused. And I want you to see your feelings of anger, frustration, triggered, and out of control as warning signs that something is up in your life, something is amiss, something is not going right. When you can start using your feelings as a compass guiding you in the right direction or as a warning signal telling you the jig is up and you have to do something about this relationship, this job, this commitment, this poor boundary, really what's happening for you in quadrant two is that the jig is up. Your anger, your frustration, your feelings of out of control and triggered are warning signals saying something's got to change. And if I don't make this change, I'm going to continue feeling this way. And eventually, if we don't make a change, I truly believe this is one of the number one causes of a lot of our own physical ailments. And it's definitely the number one cause of why relationships spiral out of control and lead to decreased intimacy and a complete quadrant is in our life. And so think of these feelings like a tornado siren for those of us that live in the Midwest, a tornado siren. Anger, frustration, out of control is letting you know, just like a tornado, something is coming and you need to change the course. And let's make sure we listen to that. I would also say that anytime we're trying to control something that we don't have any business, if you whittle that all the way down to the core of what that is, all controlling behavior comes from a place of fear. And so when you look at a list of the things you don't have control over, there are things like your kids. You certainly have guidance and you certainly have responsibility as a parent to do some parenting, right? But whenever you start getting in these power struggles with your kids and you start wanting something in their life more than they want for themselves, you are now in this quadrant two. Whether it's about grades, activities that they're doing or not doing, who they're dating, and the decisions that they're making in their life, especially as they get up beyond the age of 12, 13, 14, and into their teen years, I always say parenting is the most humbling task that you can take in life. Because it really puts you in your place of you actually don't have control over anything. And so any time that I've gotten controlling with my own kids, it definitely has come out of fear, whether it's grades. And then I'm starting to spiral and think, oh, my gosh, if you don't get good grades, you're not going to get into the right school. You're not going to do X, Y, Z, which is in my expectation and my vision for your life. But it leads to disconnect and poor relationships and a decreased amount of intimacy with our children when we're leading with our fears and our expectations, their life. We've got ours, we can't live theirs, right? It's not saying you don't have to parent, it's saying you parent smartly and more efficiently, right? And I have lots of tools that I work with people on how to set those boundaries with kids and how to get out of these power struggles that we get so embedded in. But I also think it plays out very much in our relationship with our partners in life. We often, with our partners in life, are hanging out in quadrant two, where we're feeling unmet needs, we're feeling invalidated, potentially. We're feeling fearful or scared that they're not going to follow through on the list that we've created for ourselves or for them in order for our lives to run as smoothly as humanly possible. And so you know with your partnership that you're in quadrant two. If you find yourself feeling angry at your partner, feeling out of control and feeling triggered. And for some of us, that might mean setting up boundaries with our partner. That's how you get out of quadrant two. You're saying to your partner, this is what I'm willing to do in regard to this issue, this situation. Here's what I'm not willing to do. Here's my boundary. But I love you and I can stay in connection with you. I think this is one of the biggest tools, though, is how do you set up a boundary with somebody and still stay in connection? So for a lot of women, this is really hard because what it requires us to do is, one, be able to identify that a boundary is happening in the first place. And that's where this quadrant really is a powerful, these feelings are powerful feelings to have, anger, frustration, and out of control. And when I talk to you about them being a tornado signal or a warning sign, the jig is up, oftentimes it's a warning signal that a boundary of ours is being crossed. We might not even know that this is a particular boundary. But in quadrant two, boundary work is incredibly powerful. And we'll dive more into it as well in quadrant four, where boundary work is one of the most powerful things that you can do in your world to release and let go. Telling the other person, I'm identifying a boundary here. I'm identifying just how far I'm going to allow you to cross that boundary. And I'm identifying how I'm going to enforce it, how I'm going to stick to it. Because remember, people, boundaries are not for other people. Boundaries are for us. They are for our sanity. They are for our relationships with ourselves, and they're definitely for our relationships with other people. So I'm going to walk you through a trigger mapping exercise. If you are listening to the recording of this, you can stop and get into a comfortable place. If you're listening to this live, you can just come back to the recording of it later on and kind of walk yourself through it. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about somebody in your life who you are feeling in connection with or closest to. And a lot of times for us, this is our partners. And what I want you to imagine is something that your partner would do, maybe a gesture. We all have them, like rolling your eyes or walking out of the room when you're talking about something in particular. Or it could be a sentence that they could say that might be triggering, like, I'm needing some space from you right now. Or you're so selfish, you only think about yourself. Or even a question like, why are you doing it that way? Right? So think about a sentence that might be met with a visceral response. So what a trigger is it's a visceral response. It's that emotional response that completely takes over. It's pretty automatic. It's pretty immediate. It's a pretty connected neural pathway that is often hard to proceed reasonably forward because you're just in fight, flight, or freeze mode at that point when a person has reached a trigger. And there's not a lot of turning back at that point then. So I want you to imagine that the person is saying that or doing that gesture, saying that sentence or doing that gesture. I want you to think about what sensations do you feel in your body? What is that visceral reaction doing? Does it make your heart rate increase? Do you start feeling, you know, the need to like run away? Do you start feeling the need to completely shut down? Or maybe you feel like tightness in your chest coming to you in that moment when you have that trigger. In my course for emotional literacy for women, I talk about the difference between emotions and feelings. And so emotions is that chemical or that visceral response that you're feeling. The feelings is the cognitive saturation of making meaning of what that feeling is in your body. And so it's a feeling word, one word. So I want you to think about what are the things when your partner says this, when your partner does this, what is the feeling? One word, one or two words, right? Sadness, angry, out of control, frustrated, defeated. Maybe you feel terrified or rageful. Maybe you feel completely misunderstood at this moment. Or maybe you feel a sense of abandonment, fear, or rejection, right? So what is that feeling? The next thing I want you to think about, and you can use your journals for this exercise, is what are some of the thoughts that come rushing through your head? You know, when your partner says that thing to you, I need space, does the thought rushing through your head is you don't love me? Or when your partner says you're so selfish, come rushing through your head of, fine, you should just live with somebody else. I don't even know why you put up with me, right? So I want you to write down the thoughts that you know pop in your head in that moment. And then what are some of your impulses? What are some of the things you maybe want to do or you want to say to that person? It could be things you do or say in order to protect yourself. You might stomp out of the room or maybe throw something or yell at the person about how sensitive or how horrible they are. Or maybe you start crying immediately or something like that. But what is something that's like happening that you react to that trigger? In this moment, too, I also want you to understand you've just mapped a trigger, but I want you to take it even further back for yourself and talk about or think about a time that you had a similar trigger to this, maybe when you were little. Something that was said to you when you were younger, that you recognize this partner right in front of you, this person right in front of you, has just touched on that story, theme. I often talk to women that I coach that we have themes we carry through life. And so that partner and what they just said or the gesture they've just done, rolling of their eyes or making a noise when you come into the room, they've just trigger on something that's pretty deeply embedded in you. And it's pretty scary in that moment or infuriating in that moment. When you feel triggered, I want you to work on not saying anything and giving yourself time. What happens when we are in quadrant two is that we're reacting, but we're not responding. And the difference between reaction and response is reactions are immediate. They're neural pathways that are highly connected to one another, highly, you know, it's like an interstate highway, very fast, hardly noticed. You just, that highway's been there a long time. But when we respond, I want you to think of it as it's a construction zone and we need to slow down. There's new construction, new neural pathways taking place, and how we best respond to something might not be how we're used to reacting to something. And this is super powerful. I cover it at length in my emotional literacy course for women, where we really dive in deep to what do we want to respond in this situation, right? No more reactions, giving ourselves time to breathe, take a couple deep breaths. Even if you can lengthen the trigger by 5 seconds, your response is going to be significantly different than what you used to respond to. Significantly different. And what that does is it raises the odds of getting through the situation, not creating dynamics in our relationships that lead to more and more and more and more and more of the same, but really changing the dynamics and showing up differently in our powerful and super connected relationships. Oftentimes, too, when we move into controlling behaviors, which often happens in quadrant two, we are fearing something. And so I want you to think of that when we're feeling triggered. What is our greatest fear? Are we fearing the fear of abandonment? Are we fearing the fear of getting our freedoms taken away? Are we fearing the loss of autonomy? Are we fearing the absolute diving into intimacy with this person, right? Are we fearing that they are going to do something to us or to themselves that will have an incredibly negative impact on ourselves and our life? And oftentimes, when you're feeling triggered, you can trace that fear really clearly. And wouldn't it be incredible if to the people that we cared about the most, we were able to tell them our deepest fears and have them understand us in a new and beautiful and vulnerable different way. So this is just a little bit of an overview of what's possible in working on a deeper place using tools to get you out of controlling other people. When you have no control over somebody and you try to act on it, you feel pretty crazy in life. So hopefully these tools that we kind of went through today of mapping something and then taking some deep breaths and proceeding forward with a better response that's not so neurally connected but is new and under construction, you will have better odds of creating deeper intimacy and more connection, or you'll be able to reconnect with your passions, with your purpose, and with your play. I want to thank you so much for joining me today in this episode. It was so great to have this multi-part series. We have one more in the series that we'll be doing either later this week or, coming soon in the next week or so. So thank you for joining me today in this great 30 minutes of inspiration and hopefully new knowledge. Remember, you can find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. And join my email list. I only email a couple times a month, and they're always filled with great information to ignite your own life with greater pleasure and with much more passion. I also have a current free gift that I'm offering, which is a 5-day pleasure challenge that you take on your own. And those gifts are always changing and recycling, and they're just beautiful to encourage you to dream big, live with passion, and as always, be hot pink. Thank you so much. I'm Christy Bemis, and I'm so glad to have joined you for just a brief time of your day today. Be well.